in 1987, George Harrison released an album. The name of the album was Cloud Nine. One of the tracks on that album was a song entitled Devil's Radio. Now, this song was written, like I said, 1987, long before there was a Facebook, way before Twitter, before we had all of those different social things that we have today. But he wrote this song about the subject of gossip. He refers to it in the song as pollution of the highest degree. If you're familiar with the song, you might recognize those words. He talks about gossip as a broadcasting tool of Satan in the song. Gossip is indeed a tool of Satan, and it is something that is used to tear down and destroy. Satan is very clever, and he's able to disguise things. He's able to disguise sin as something very harmless, as something that isn't going to hurt anyone. He can disguise gossip as harmless conversation. No wrong intent, no problem there. But yet gossip not only harms its subject, but it also involves those involved in it. It not only harms the person that's being spoken about, but it's also harmful for the one doing the speaking and the one doing the listening. And you know, all too often, we can get hung up in gossip and not even realize it. We don't even realize we're doing it. Satan is that clever. Now, if you don't think that this topic applies to you, I suggest you think again. Because I think all of us have had a part in it at some time, and maybe unknowingly. Maybe we've participated in gossip and didn't realize what we were doing. But it finds its way into all congregations. It finds its way into the church, into all churches. And so it is something that we need to consider. We need to talk about it. We need to think on these terms, because it does find its way in when we're not even expecting it or when we don't think it's there. So please listen. If you feel that this sermon doesn't apply to you, please listen anyway. Now, we've all heard of the subject of gossip. Most of us, I think, know exactly what it is. There may be a little more to it than you realize. So what I'm going to do today is to start out with the dictionary definition of the word gossip. Gossip is defined as information about the behavior and personal lives of other people. Information about the lives of famous people. You see these gossip magazines on the newsstand that have all kind of information on the personal lives of celebrities. Gossip is also defined as a rumor or a report of an intimate nature. Now, there are other meanings to the word gossip. The word gossip can also refer to the person involved in such behavior. Sometimes a person is called a gossip because that's what he engages in. It's defined as one who often discusses private details of others' lives, or one who reveals personal or sensational facts about others. And God warned the Israelites against this very behavior. He warned them not to get involved in these things. Let's start today by turning to Leviticus chapter 19 and read verse 16. Leviticus 19, verse 16. It says, "You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord." This word talebearer is the Hebrew word rakiel. And what that word means is a scandalmonger or a slanderer. A scandalmonger would be one that just thrives on a good, juicy scandal. He says, you're not to be like that. You're not to act that way. Exodus chapter 23, verse 1. Exodus chapter 23, verse 1. "You shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice." We're not to do these things. We're not to testify so as to turn people against the truth. Trying to sway public opinion against another person. We're not to do that. Now, here we are in a presidential election year, and we see a lot of that, don't we? We see a lot of people trying to sway public opinion against a particular candidate. And you can pick whichever candidate you want, because all sides do it. They're all trying to sway public opinion, circulating false reports. Sometimes maybe they're true reports. I don't know. It doesn't matter. God says don't do it. Let's look at some examples of what type of behavior constitutes gossip. I'm going to give you an example here. Someone comes up to you and says, "Did you hear Mr. Gray had a heart attack?" Now, I chose that name because I don't think there's anybody here named Mr. Gray. Is that correct? I think I chose a fictitious name. "Did you hear Mr. Gray had a heart attack?" That is not gossip. Okay? As stated, that is not necessarily gossip. Now, it could be, however, it could be gossip if Mr. Gray didn't want anyone to know about his heart attack. And if he didn't want you to tell anyone and you spread it around, then the same statement could constitute gossip. Now, consider another statement. "Did you hear that Mr. Gray had a heart attack? And it's no wonder. He's always eating junk food and not taking care of himself. He never eats healthy. I'm not a bit surprised." Now we're getting into the realm of gossip. Okay, we're passing judgment on somebody. Passing judgment and accusing him of his poor dietary habits. So that would be within the realm of gossip. The Bible is full of scriptures that speak against gossip. In fact, there is so much in the Bible on this topic. Even the book of Proverbs alone has over 24 scriptures that refer to this topic. I'm going to read some of them to you. I'm not going to go through all of them. I'm going to hit the highlights, the most important ones, I believe. But let's start in the beginning. Let's start in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Now, how many of these seven things here involve the subject of gossip? Well, we'll see. Gossip is often false. Very often sows discord. God hates one who sows discord among brethren. He hates a lying tongue. He hates a false witness. He hates a proud look. And a lot of times pride is what is behind gossip. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. So you see, several of these things here all have to do with the subject of gossip. Now, some gossip is true. Sometimes the tale that is being told is not false. It is totally true. But that doesn't make it okay. That doesn't make it fine to repeat just because it happens to be true. Some gossip is true, but it is still gossip. Now, maybe it's true that Mr. Gray really did eat nothing but junk food. Does that give you the right to accuse him and to criticize him for his dietary habits before other people, passing judgment upon him? You see, gossip is not defined by whether it's truth or not. That has nothing to do with it. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. See, if we control what we say, if we restrain the words that come past our lips, that's wise. That's what we should be doing. Exercising control on our words. Because slandering another person is foolish and it is sinful. It's against what God commands us. Proverbs 11, verse 13. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. You know, keeping personal information quiet is very helpful, and it's appropriate. And if you know something, if you know that Mr. Gray ate nothing but junk food, keep it to yourself. You don't have to tell everybody about it. Keeping personal information quiet is helpful. Proverbs 12, verse 23. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. So again, you see, concealing things can be beneficial. It can be helpful to keep things quiet. It's a good thing sometimes to keep a secret, if I can put it that way. Proverbs 16. Verse 27. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. How often do we see in a political campaign, someone digging up something that is evil about the other person, the one he or she is running against? How many times do we see that? An ungodly man digs up evil. You know, friendships can be destroyed by gossip. Like it says here, a whisperer separates the best of friends. It can cause much damage in a relationship. Why would you want to call evil to someone's attention? Why would you want to point out somebody's faults to somebody else? That's not a good thing to do. Isn't it better to conceal a matter? Isn't it better to keep it quiet if you know that a person has a fault? Isn't it better just to keep it to yourself? Proverbs 17, verse 9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. So we see that same principle there, how friends can be torn apart by a matter being repeated. In Proverbs 25, verse 2, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. But the glory of kings is to search out a matter. Search it out. Dig up whatever you can. Find out what you can about this person. That's the way our political campaigns are run. We should not be like that. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. And that's what we are to be doing. Proverbs 18, verse 8. Proverbs 18, verse 8. It says, the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. You know, to some people, a little bit of gossip is like this tasty tidbit, this little morsel, this little tiny bit of excitement. And they just love it. They just thrive on gossip. They just thrive on information about someone. Tasty tidbits of excitement. It says they are like tasty trifles. Now, if you have the old King James Version, what I read you was the new King James. If you have an old King James Bible, it words it a little differently. And in fact, it conveys the actual meaning of the Hebrew word that is used here. It doesn't say tasty tidbits. It doesn't say tasty trifles. The Hebrew word is laham, and that word means wounds. Okay, so let's read it now in the King James Version, the old King James. It says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. So we see that our words can be wounds. They can be harmful. They can be hurtful. They can do a lot of damage. In Young's literal translation, let's read the same verse there. Proverbs 18:8 in the Young's literal translation says, the words of a talebearer are as self-inflicted wounds. See, we inflict these on ourselves when we are repeating gossip. We're hurting ourselves. And they have gone down to the inner parts of the heart. Goes down inside of us, deep inside of us, into our being, into our minds and our thoughts. And our thoughts are affected by it. The Message, which is not an actual translation, it is more of a paraphrase, phrases it this way. Listening to gossip is like eating cheap candy. Do you really want junk like that in your belly? That's the way it puts it. And it kind of merges the two thoughts here, the tasty trifles and the wounds. It kind of puts it all together, calling it cheap candy. And it's junk for the belly. It's going to create distress for you. But that's what the words of a talebearer are like. Now in Proverbs 21, verse 23. It says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. You watch what you say. You guard what comes out of your mouth, and you'll stay out of trouble. In Proverbs 25, verse 9. Debate your case with your neighbor, and do not disclose the secret to another. Okay? Now, does that remind you of any other scripture? Kind of puts you in mind of Matthew 18, where we're told to go to our brother. Work it out with him. If there's a problem, work it out with him. Now, it's okay to talk about a person, but only if you're also talking to that person, not somebody else. It's good to talk it out, and oftentimes it's important to discuss a person's faults with him. Now, I'm not saying we go around and looking at people's faults and we find out what they're doing wrong and we correct them. That's not my point. But I'm saying that if you do have an issue with someone, rather than going to other people and telling them about the problems you have with this person, work it out with them directly. Deal with them on it. Discuss it with them and get it ironed out. And let's look at Proverbs 26, verse 17. This is quite an illustration here. Proverbs 26, verse 17. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not about to go up to a dog and grab him by the ears and just hold him like that. Because you know what? You dare not let go, because he will retaliate. You're asking for trouble if you grab a dog by the ears, or if you get involved in a quarrel that is not your own. If you get involved in a discussion about someone's problems that doesn't concern you, not something you should do. Verse 20. It says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. So, you know, you can't grab a dog by the ears because he's going to come after you. He's going to get very angry with you. And it's a lose-lose situation. You know, the dog's going to get hurt and you're going to get chewed up. But at the same time, so is meddling in another person's life. But this verse 20 says that if there's no gossip, if there's no tale-bearing, strife ceases. You know, everything is at peace. There are no fires to be put out. Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. There's no fire. The fire is not going to keep going if you run out of wood. If you've ever heated your house with a wood stove, you know what I'm talking about. It gets cold pretty quick, doesn't it? So where there's no wood, where there's no fuel, the fire goes out. Your words can be the fuel that keep the fire going. But you know, there's more to gossip than telling details about people. There's more to it that we need to understand, because we can fall into this trap just as easily, if not more so. Proverbs 17, verse 4. Proverbs 17, verse 4 says, an evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. Listening to gossip is just as serious of a problem as spreading gossip. You see, if no one was listening, no one would spread gossip. If somebody comes up to me and they start telling me about this person and their faults and what they're involved in, and you know, I don't want to hear that. And if I don't listen and if I walk away, they're not going to keep talking. They're not going to keep going on and on about this. So if there's no one to hear, then there won't be anything said. No one will spread the gossip if no one's there to listen. You see, the spiteful tongue can be stopped by not listening to it, by just turning off your ears to that person and not listening to what they have to say. Proverbs 20, verse 19. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. If somebody is speaking gossip all the time, you probably shouldn't associate with that person. Stay away from them. You're asking for trouble. You know, concealing secrets is better than revealing secrets. As I said before, it's okay to conceal things. It's okay to cover a person's faults and not spread them. We shouldn't give anyone an opportunity to gossip. We shouldn't give another person the chance to say what they want to say about someone by our listening to them. Don't associate with someone who talks about others, because listening to gossip can be just as bad as repeating it. And so it's best to avoid the discussion if at all possible. Now, sometimes it's not that easy to recognize gossip right away. You don't realize right away that the subject that's being spoken about is a gossip situation. Like if somebody says to you, "Did you hear Mr. Gray had a heart attack?" Okay, sounds perfectly normal and natural, and that's fine. But then when they start talking about his dietary habits, it evolves into a gossip area, and suddenly you find yourself in the middle of that discussion. And what starts as an innocent conversation can turn to gossip very quickly. And you're involved before you realize it. So what do you do? If your conversation with someone turns to gossip, how do you politely get out of it? How do you politely say, "I don't want to talk about this"? You know, you don't want to say to the person, "Well, what you're saying sounds like gossip, and I don't want to talk to you about it." Well, you don't want to do that, because that can offend someone, especially if you misread the comments, because it might not be a gossip topic. It might not be. Maybe you interpreted it as such. So you need to be careful, and you need to be tactful in the way you handle it when someone does start talking about someone like that. You don't want to be rude. You don't want to offend anyone. And you don't want to come across as corrective. If someone comes to you and starts speaking some gossip, you probably would want to correct them for it. Well, you don't want to do that. You shouldn't do that. Here's a better way. If the subject turns to gossip, simply and discreetly change the subject. Try to change the subject. Steer it in a different direction. Be discreet about it, but steer it in a different direction. And then if the problem continues, maybe this person keeps wanting to get back to the subject at hand, to the gossip subject, then a gentle hint might suffice. You might be able to drop some kind of a gentle hint about it. And so we need to be careful in that way as well when we're listening to someone and conversing with someone, if they start talking to us about something that we feel we shouldn't be listening to. What is it that makes gossip so appealing to so many people? Why do we have all of these gossip magazines and tabloids on the shelf that are just waiting there for you to pick up as you're checking out in the grocery line? Why is it that they're so popular? You know, people always like to hear how bad other people have it. They like to hear how this person is going through this terrible divorce, and this other person here is struggling with a weight problem, or maybe anorexia, or something, you know. These celebrities, you hear all kind of things about them, things that they go through. You know, they're cheating on their husband, or they're accused of cheating on their wife, or whatever. And people just eat that up. That's the gossip that just is cheap candy that we talked about earlier, the tasty trifles that people just love to gobble. Why because it gives people a feeling of not being so bad themselves. Oh, this one's going through this tough divorce. Well, my marriage isn't the greatest, but my marriage is better than that. You know, they start to compare their own marriage to what they're reading about. They've got a weight problem. Well, I know I'm a little overweight too, but at least I'm not obese like this one. You know, look at that picture. They've really put on the weight. You know, you see some of these pictures, you know, you won't believe what they look like now. Maybe you've seen some of those things. They pop up on my computer screen all the time. I just ignore them. But somebody who was a really beautiful person years ago now has put on 50 or 60 pounds and just letting themselves go. And somebody snapped a picture, sharing it with the world. You know, that's not a very nice thing to do. But by seeing the problems that other people have, it helps their self-image. It helps them to feel better about themselves. Because this one over here has it worse than I do. You see, one problem with gossip is that it attempts to promote the self. It attempts to boost you up, to puff you up, to give you a little bit of a better feeling about yourself, to help you have a little bit of pride about yourself and your way of life. It's no different when it's someone we know personally. We see this in the magazines about celebrities, but sometimes we hear things about people we know personally. Someone tells us about Mr. Gray's junk food diet. Well, I know my diet's not the best, but at least I don't pig out the way he did, eating those greasy hamburgers every day and the French fries, and that's all he ever ate. I believe he lived at McDonald's. And suddenly we feel as though our own inadequate diet is a little more healthy. I know I don't eat the best, but at least I don't eat like him. And so we feel better about ourselves at someone else's expense. You see, that's the one thing about gossip. It's always at someone's expense. Gossip is an act of pride, presenting the self as better than someone else. That's not a good thing. Many people take part in it even without thinking about it. Let's go to Psalms 12, verse 1. Psalms 12, verse 1. It says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said, 'With our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?'" Now, who's going to tell us what to say, to tell us who we can talk about and who we can't? He says the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. And isn't that true? Finding one who refuses to take part in gossip isn't easy. Finding one who is faithful in all things in the world today is not easy. Idle words with flattery and double-mindedness. And David shows here that the faithful are not like that. The faithful don't live that way. God is not going to put up with slander or pride or arrogance. Psalms 101, verse 5. Psalms 101, verse 5. "Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy." the one who has a haughty look and a proud heart. Him I will not endure. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. How easy is it to be like this and not even realize it? How easy is it to slander someone and not even realize you've done it until after it's too late? It does happen, and it happens to us probably more often than we realize. We need to be thinking about it, and we need to be guarding against it. What makes gossip so wrong is that it tears down another person's reputation. It tears down one's character. Being a talebearer works against another person. I want to go back and read the verse that I read in the very beginning of the sermon, Leviticus 19:16. I want to take another look at that. It says, "You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor." See, it's going to work against your neighbor. It works against another person. It tears them down. No good comes from it. No one is edified. No one is shown love. It only feeds on one's own desire for recognition or to boost their ego. And it is always at the expense of someone's reputation. As God's people, we're not to be doing that. We're to be doing something else. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Ephesians 4, 29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." As God's people, we're to be edifying one another. We're to be boosting one another up. We're to be helping one another, not tearing them down. We're here to help each other endure to the end, are we not? Isn't that why we're here? We're all told to endure to the end, and by us being congregated together in one group like this, we're here to help each other to do that, to help each other endure to the end, to edify one another, like iron sharpening iron, as it says. Verse 31, Ephesians 4, verse 31. "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." These are all the emotions that inspire gossip: bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Those things inspire gossip. We need to get rid of them and have the brotherly love that we're supposed to have for one another, being kind and tenderhearted and forgiving. Big difference there. If you have real brotherly love for one another, gossip is not going to be an issue. It's not going to affect you at all. Because no one would spread gossip about his closest friend. No one would spread gossip about their husband or their wife. We just don't do that. It's always somebody else. It's not a close friend. It's not somebody that you hold special. Someone in your family, perhaps. You don't gossip about them. It's always somebody else. As members of God's family, we're to be that close. We should be even closer than that. Closer to the point where we would never consider spreading something about one another. We should never gossip about each other or anyone else for that matter, inside or outside of the church. That's not what we're to be doing. It's not why we're here. I want to show you some biblical examples of gossip. I'm going to give you one real life example here. You can see how destructive gossip can be. Moses had a sister named Miriam and a brother named Aaron. And one day Miriam and Aaron were gossiping about Moses. They had a problem with him. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. You see, Moses had done something that they didn't quite agree with. And so they were talking about it, not to Moses, but to each other. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And so they didn't like that. They didn't think that was appropriate, that Moses would marry this foreigner. Verse 2, so they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Well, they're not talking about the Ethiopian woman. They're talking about Moses' relationship with God now. And is God the only one, is Moses the only one God is dealing with? And so they're getting into that a little bit. They were really upset because of Moses' wife, because she was an Ethiopian. But now they begin to find fault with his leadership as well. You know, he's really tight with God, apparently. Now, what about us? Doesn't God speak to us too? And so they find fault with him, and God was displeased with Miriam and Aaron and calls them aside. And he lets them know that Moses was a faithful servant, and he corrects them for gossiping against their brother. Verse 6. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? God says, I have a very close relationship with him, and you're speaking out against him and gossiping about him and tearing down his reputation. And as a result, he punishes Miriam by inflicting her with leprosy, which she then has for the next 7 days. Now, if they had a complaint with Moses, what should they have done? They should have gone to Moses and talk to him about it, instead of murmuring with each other, and who knows who all else may have heard it as well. They should have told him that they had a problem. We don't like this woman that you married. She's not right for you. What they were then talking about was his leadership position and his relationship with God, and they could have talked about that too. But telling each other, and perhaps even allowing the story to build and the intensity of it to build, was an act against Moses. And it was a classic example of gossip. There was no love being shown here at all. And once again, Matthew 18 kicks in. Of course, they didn't have Matthew 18 back in those days, but the principle was there. They chose to murmur about him behind his back, to say things that shouldn't have been said before someone else. That's another example showing gossip that's being used to discredit someone. Turn to Job chapter 1, verse 6. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." So we see here the sons of God, namely the angels, what we're talking about here, came before God on this particular day, a day that they came to present themselves before him. Now, it doesn't give us a whole lot of details of the reason why they were presenting themselves before him. That's not important to the story. But we see here that in this presentation before God, Satan appears. He shows up, perhaps uninvited. God says, "Where did you come from? And why are you here?" And so in their discussion, the subject of Job comes up. In verse 8, "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?'" So God mentions to Satan how righteous and faithful his servant Job was. And he praises Job, showing Satan this example of faith, showing him a good example of a human being that he saw in Job, and explaining that to Satan. But Satan turns it around, and Satan starts to blame Job. Verse 9, "So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.'" Satan lies about Job. He's trying to discredit him. He's trying to show him in a bad light. He's trying to say, "Well, God, it's only because of all your blessings that Job is so righteous and so faithful. If he didn't have all the favor that you show him, he wouldn't be that way. He would curse you." And so he wants God to see Job as very shallow and very unfaithful. He's trying to discredit him. Satan had to lie to paint a picture of Job, a distorted picture of him, because Job wasn't that way. God allowed Satan to inflict him, and Job did not curse God. Satan lied about him. He wanted to discredit Job. He wanted to show God, "You're wrong about him. You've made a mistake here. You don't understand him. You don't realize why he's the way he is." Satan wanted God to think that Job was somebody else. Despite the great trials that God allowed on him, Job remained faithful. In chapter 2 of the same book, Satan tries it again, but to no avail. He tried to start a rumor about Job, trying to create some gossip, but it was a lie. Job was not that type of personality. That wasn't Job. The picture that Satan was painting was not the real Job. How do we avoid gossip? Church members are not immune to it. In fact, it happens often among church members. We should be especially careful not to fall into the trap. James chapter 1, verse 26. James chapter 1, verse 26. "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." We need to be able to control the tongue. And if we can't do that, we practice our faith in vain. If we can't bridle the tongue, our religion is useless. Our faith is in vain. We need to realize how important this is for us. James chapter 3, verse 5. James 3, verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. The tongue is a dangerous weapon, and it is capable of great harm. Political rivals use it specifically to inflict harm on their opponents. People use it for spite, for revenge, for bullying, for all kinds of reasons. We cannot let ourselves sink to that level. It's ungodly. So how can we rid ourselves of it if we habitually practice it? One thing we need to keep in mind is that gossip or talebearing breaks three of the commandments. Maybe you never thought about it this way before. Breaking three commandments by gossiping. First of all, gossip breaks the sixth commandment, because gossip is a type of murder. Now, maybe no one dies physically, but one's good name is often killed. One's reputation is murdered. There's a lot more to murder than just taking a physical life. And we could be guilty of it. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus showed that in Matthew 5, verse 21. Let's look at that real quick. Matthew 5, verse 21. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire." He says there's a lot more to this commandment than just physical murder. And gossip certainly does murder one's reputation. Gossip breaks the eighth commandment, because gossip involves stealing. Words can do irreparable harm to a person's good name. If that reputation is stolen, if it is taken away, it usually cannot be restored. You know, you can steal just about anything and make restitution, but when you steal one's reputation, it's pretty hard to give that back. It's almost impossible. Gossip can cause the loss of what could be rightfully that person's. You could be causing him to lose something. You could be taking something from him. For example, it could be a job opportunity. If you spread something about someone who's up for a promotion, you know, and you spread a story about him that's not true, he might not get the promotion because of you, because of what you said. You stole that from him. It breaks the ninth commandment, because like I said, gossip is often untrue. Is what was said false? Did Mr. Gray really eat nothing but junk food? Is that totally true? Is it a stretch of the truth? Too often, gossip is not entirely accurate information. Now, sometimes it might be. Sometimes it is true. But even if it is true, if any of it isn't, if there's the least little bit of untruth in there, it still constitutes a lie. And remember, like I said, even the truth can be gossip. It doesn't have to be a lie, but most of the time, there's some untruth in there. Maybe it's true that Mr. Gray did eat mostly junk food. But if it tears him down in any way, if it ruins his reputation, if it makes people look at him in a different light, it's still gossip. And we can't allow ourselves to get involved in it. It's okay to keep secrets if you're doing it to keep from hurting someone. So how do you recognize gossip when you see it? How do you know that what you're about to say is gossip? I'm going to tell you how you know it's gossip. Do you have to whisper so that the party you're talking about doesn't hear you? Does your voice get low when you're starting to say something you don't want somebody else to hear? Do you have to look over your shoulder to see who's behind you and who might be listening, who might be within range of hearing what you're going to say? If that's the case, chances are you have a problem with gossip. How do you recognize gossip in somebody else? How do you recognize the conversation that you're involved in when it's turning toward gossip? Again, if the person speaking is whispering or looking over their shoulder and making sure that nobody else can hear this, that's a clue. But also, evaluate what is being said. And here's the easiest way to tell if this is gossip or not. The thing that is being said about this person, could it be said if the person were standing here next to me and could hear every word? If this could not be said with the person standing here next to me, chances are it's gossip. If somebody's speaking to you and saying things that they wouldn't say if the person were standing there, it's gossip. Well, except for one possible exception, if they're planning a surprise party. Okay. I can see where you wouldn't want to say that in front of them. But unless you're planning a surprise party for them, if the key is you're not going to say it if he's standing there, then it's most likely gossip. Now, at this point in the sermon, very close to the end of the sermon, about two more minutes and I'll be done. But at this point, you might be thinking, well, I don't have this problem. I'm glad I'm not like this. I'm glad I don't have this problem. Are you sure? Are you sure you don't have this problem? Because it is in every congregation and more than we'd like to believe. You may be guilty more than you realize. You may have done it. I know I have. I've been involved in it. So I know that some of you probably have as well. And it happens so easily and naturally. And sometimes it's so natural that it's hard to spot. That's why we have to be aware of it at all times. That's why we have to be constantly on guard, watching what comes out of the mouth and watching what goes into the ears. We need to be on the lookout for it and put it away, and not letting ourselves get caught up in some conversation that isn't appropriate. It's a sign of gossip when you have to be careful who hears you. So if you find yourself looking around before you speak, if you talk softly so no one can hear you, then you want to take note. Obviously, some things are confidential in nature. You know, some things are confidential and other people don't need to hear. And that's okay as long as another person isn't the topic. But we need to be careful. If we don't want this other person knowing what we said about them, we need to stop and think about what's about to be said. Because chances are it's gossip. And we need to guard our mouth. We need to guard the tongue. Remember, your words are a reflection of your thoughts. And if you speak something about someone, you're probably thinking thoughts against him as well. That's not a reflection of the love of God in us. So take care what you say. Take care of your conversations, and don't ever give place to gossip.